Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Zayin. We're going to begin on the very, very top line, Zayin Omid Aleph, with the two dots, quoting the Mishnah. We're learning today, Le'il Nishmas Julius Rosenberg. I don't have his Hebrew name. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. So we begin by quoting the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Omer, Misteya Ilan Kidarko. One is allowed to trap the Ishus and the Achbarim, the different types of animals that sometimes will destroy the field, eat the crops, the weasels or moles, and the mice. So one is allowed to go and trap them in the normal way, Rav Yehuda said, in terms of a Steha Ilan, a field that's filled with trees. However, when we stay halavan, shalom kidako, but he's not allowed to trap from a grain field, stay halavan, in the normal way, he has to do it with a shinoi. The Tanakhama said both of them can be done in the normal way. So obviously, the Gemara now is going to say, what does it mean with a shinoi? Tanaraban, we learn in a brisa. Ketzad kidarko, what is the definition of trapping these ishus and achbarim in the normal fashion? So the normal fashion is, the brisa says, hol for a gumo, you dig a hole, vitola ba mitzuda, and you place a trap inside that hole. How exactly does this work? So if you look in Rashi in the Ksiviyad, Riniach Shom Mitsuda, you put the trap there, Shiyetsu Derech Haguma, when the animals come out of this hole that you created, so then the Neachazin B'Mitsuda, they're caught in this trap. That's the normal way of trapping these animals. What is the definition? Ketzat Shelo Kidarko, what's the abnormal way of doing things with a Shinui? So Noetz Shpud Umake Bekordom. You go and you put into the ground a shput, a spit. In other words, you put some sort of a pole into the ground, and then you bang on that pole with a hammer, umake bekordom. And what does that do? So the Girsa that we have, umirade. Some have the Girsa, midada ho adoma mitachtel. So the possibilities here are as follows. Rashi in the Ksiviyat says, umake bekordom, al hashput, you bang on the spit that you put into the ground with this hammer. So it goes deeper into the ground, viasaguma, and that's how you make the hole as opposed to digging the hole in a normal way. And then you go and you turn the spit to the left and to the right, you move it around, and this way you'll trap the animals. They'll be caught over there in this area. Umidada, that's the girsa that we have. In the Ksiviyat and Rashi, the Gemara had the Yirsa Merada. So Medada means Minaneya Ma'at Ma'at. You move it about a little bit. Kideshietsu Misham, so that the moles and the mice will come out from there. If you need Sodin, and they'll be trapped. Avol Derech Chafira Mamish Lo. You don't do it with an actual digging. You do it in this way of banging in the spit into the ground, because Kamadav Shel Shayune Mishanina. You have to make some sort of a change from the normal way of doing this. Rashi in the regular Rashi says, no age spud, but welcome Shehei Mitsuyin, umirad deho adoma, you cause the earth to tremble, umimayachosan, and it crushes them in that fashion. Okay, so this is the Shinui way of doing it. You don't do an actual digging. Morgan brings in another brisa, and it says, Tanya, Rabbi Shim ben Elazar Omer, Kisha Amru, Mistei Lavan, Shaloki Darko. That which we said in the Mishnah, that you are not allowed, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to do it in a normal way in a Stei Lavan. You have to do it with a Shinui. They only said that, Lo Amru. They only said that you must use a Shinui on the Stei Lavan, Ela B'Stei Lavan, Hasmuch Alir, if it's next to the city. So it is not going to impact a Stei Ha'ilan. Abu B'Stei Lavan, Hasmuch Al Stei Ha'ilan. But if this Stei Lavan, this grain field, is right next to an orchard, it's next to a Stei Ha'ilan, so then, even in the Stei Ha'lavan, you're allowed to do it Afilu Kedarki, you do it a regular way. Why? Because Shema Yetsu M'Stei Ha'lavan, the mice, if you do it in this abnormal way, will not be killed. They'll be able to leave. They won't be trapped as well. And they'll go out from your Stei Ha'lavan, Shema Yetsu M'Stei Ha'lavan, when you're doing this poor form of trapping, this low kidarka way, V'yachrivu Esolonos, and they'll go into the other field, and then they'll start destroying the other field. So therefore, in this situation, where the fields are adjacent to each other, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that you can then do the Stei Ha'lavan even there in the normal way, because it could ruin the adjacent Stei Ha'ilan if you don't. Again, I'll point out that our Girsa was Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and the Masoras HaShas says it was Rav Elazar ben Yossi. Okay. Gemara continues and says, we quote the Mishnah, we said that if there's a breach in the fence, in the wall, that is surrounding your area, so you're allowed to go and fix that breach on Chol HaMoed. And in the Shemitah, we said, not only could you fix it, but you could actually go and build a new wall, not just to repair a hole in a wall that had a breach. Now the Gemara asks, how do you do this repair? Kate said, Mekorin, what is the proper way on Cholamoy to go and fix this breach? So Rav Yosef Amar, Behutza V'dafna. You have to do it with an abnormal way of doing it. You can put in over there Hutza and Dafna. Hutza, Rashi tells us, are Anfe Deco to Tmarim. This is like the palm fronds. These are the branches from a palm tree that you're allowed to go and fill in the wall. And Dafna is something known as a beer. So you put up these thistles and you go and connect them one to the other. You braid them together, and this is how you make the fence. That's the first shot of how you do this makarin in the field on Cholamoid. Masnisa Tana, in a brisa we learned, Tsar Bitsrar, what you're allowed to do is put in bricks, however, Veno Toch Batit, but you can't cement them in place. So you can just put up the bricks so the animals won't be able to get in, but it won't be permanent and sturdy. That will last for the Cholamoid, and then after Cholamoid, you can go cement them in. Now the Gemara says, Amrav Chisda, Lo Shanu, this statement that a Cholamoid, you're only allowed to fix the breach, but not do it in a permanent way. Lo Shanu Elakosalagina, that's when you're dealing with the wall around a garden. In this situation, Rashi points out that the Amar Masnisin Makarin, I will ain't no bona kidarki, now I do it in a normal way, because the Leka Pseida Yisera Ilibo Inche. Because what's going to happen? If you have a breach there, people will come in, but they're not going to ruin it. You worry about the animals, and this will protect the animals from coming in. So you're not concerned about somebody easily being able to get in. The animals won't be able to easily get in, and if people can get in, it's no big deal. Avol kozel hechotzer. But if this was the wall around your chotzer, now that's your private living quarters, and they used to put expensive things. They used to put furniture and all sorts of other things into the chotzer because they needed them there. So there, bone kedarko. Even in Cholamoid, you're allowed to go and fix the wall in a normal way, because here you're doing it because of a hefsed meruba. As Rashi points out, the ikup say the yeseira, there's going to be an excessive potential financial loss if that wall is breached. Because robbers are going to come in there for ganve mamoni. They're going to steal all the important things, the fancy things, the expensive things that you keep in your courtyard. So that is Rav Chisda's statement, that only when it's a gina, a wolf or a gina, are you not allowed to build it in the normal way. Then you have to do it with either the hoots or the dafno, or you put up the bricks without cementing them in. But if it's surrounding your courtyard, then there's a consideration of a huge hefset beruba, so you're allowed to do it in the regular way on Cholamoid. The Gemara now wants to say that we want to bring a raya to what Rav Chisda said from the following braisa. If you have a wall that is leaning towards the Rishus Rabbim, and we're concerned that it's going to fall down and damage or hurt people in the Rishus Rabbim. So the din is, so sir, you're allowed to go and knock this wall down, this leaning wall, Ubona Kedarko, and build it again in the normal way, and this is on Cholamoid. And the reason you're allowed to do this is Mipnei HaSakona, because if this wall were to fall down into the Rishus Rabbim, which is leaning into, it could hurt all the people that are walking by over there. And therefore, you're allowed to go and fix this because of the concern that it's going to be a sakana. So therefore, you see that when there is a significant concern, you're allowed to go build it in the regular way. That's what Rav Chisda said. In the coastal of the Chotzer, there is a concern that you'll have a significant financial loss. So therefore, just like you're allowed to go and build the wall, it's leaning into the Shusar Rabim, and you'll have to knock it down and rebuild it. So too, Rav Chisda says, you can fix the Kotel HaChotzer in the normal way. So let's bring a riot to Rav Chisda from this. Magor says, no, not necessarily so. Hossam, in the Braiso that we just brought down, it said, B'nei HaSakana, Kidiktani Taima, B'nei HaSakana. There, the only reason was because it's going to cause potential damage. That's why you'll have to knock it down and rebuild it. However, that's because of sakana. So you can't tell me automatically that Rav Chisda is right, because the case of the Chotzer is not a case of sakana, it's just a case of great financial loss. So therefore, you can't bring a riot to Rav Chisda. It's not a proof against him, of course, but you can't bring a riot to Rav Chisda from this brisa. Now the Gemara is going to use this brisa to ask a kasha on Rav Chisda. Here, it was just, we tried to bring a riot to Rav Chisda, and the Gemara said, no, you can't. Now the Gemara is going to take this same brisa and say as follows. There were those that said this brisa was actually going to be a question on Rav Chisda. Toshma, we learned in the brisa, kosel ha-gochel u-shusarabim sos rabona kidarko mi-mi-an-sakona. This brisa is now going to be used as a question against Rav Chisda. We're saying that if you have the wall that is leaning and it's going to fall possibly into the Rishus HaRabim and hurt people, so you'll have to go and knock it down and build it because of this concern about sakana. So the implication is only because it's a sakana. If there is no danger, so then you wouldn't be allowed to do this. So therefore, that would imply that when you have a kozel of a chotzer, you're not allowed to go rebuild it in a normal way because it's not a sakana. Okay, there'll be financial loss, but it's not a sakana. So therefore, lema tabi to yovta the ruchista. So therefore, this seems to go against the ruchista said. So how would ruchista respond? So ruchista would answer as follows. He would say, no. Hasam sosa rubone. The Bryson that we brought down that said if the wall is leaning into Shusarabim, there's two aspects over there. Number one, you can knock it down and then rebuild it. Here, it's not a kasha to me because we're not knocking it down. It's already breached. There's already a hole in the wall. Here, we're allowing you to go and build it in a normal way and not to knock it down. So the two cases are different, and therefore you can't bring me a kasha from the case of the wall that's leaning into the Shusar Rabbim. How come there you'll have to knock it down and then rebuild it? Why? Only in that situation, because it's sakana. So he says, the Gemara there told him that building it after you knocked it down. Here, it's already knocked down. Therefore, it's no kasha to me. Maybe you could be lenient in my case and rebuild the chotzer wall in the normal way because of the financial loss. You can't bring me a raya that it's only because of sakana. Because the sakana, yes, that allows you to go sosa rabone. We're not asking to be sosa in the case of the chotzer. We're just saying to be bone. So the Gemara says, so hasam nami, listar lo livne. So wait a second. If the only concern is for sakana, why in the case of the wall falling into the rabbim, did we just not let you knock it down, only allow soser, but don't allow the boneh? So listar velo livne. Why did we allow you to rebuild it in that case? After all, shalom white, why should we allow to do such tircha yisera? It's no longer a danger. So the Gemara says, because if we don't allow you to rebuild it, Cain. Therefore, the person's going to say, listen, if I can't rebuild it, I'm worried about people then being able to come in through that wall that's now broken. Mimna v'lod sosa. He says, I'll wait till after Yontif. I'll wait till after Cholamayit if you don't allow me to rebuild it. And no, I don't think it's going to fall down. But if it does fall down, it's going to be a problem. But I don't think it's going to fall down. So therefore, I'm not going to go and knock it down. Mimna v'lod sosa. He's going to be reluctant to knock it down. So therefore, if he's not allowed to rebuild it, he may not knock it down. And therefore, be a sakana. So the rebuilding, it is part of the takana, mipnei sakana, to allow you to go and rebuild the wall after you knock it down. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Masnisa Nami Daika. Rav Ashi says, I can show you support for Rav Ashi, that you're allowed to go and rebuild the wall around your chotzer in the normal way. And only around the Gina are you not allowed to build it in a normal way. You have to do it either the Hutz or the Dafna, or the bricks without cement. I'll show you, if you carefully look at our Mishnah, you can see that Rav Chisda is right. Amar Rav Ashi, Masnisa Nami Daiko, Diktoni, it says in our Mishnah, Ubashvi is Bona Kedarko. In the Shemitah year, you're allowed to build the wall in an absolutely normal way. Now, what are we talking about in the Shemitah year? You can build the wall in a normal way. The Hecha, where is this wall? If you're telling me Yilema of the Chotzer, so you're telling me it's the wall of a courtyard, so then why would you need to tell me that? There's no Isser of building in the Shemitah year. Zricha Lemeimar, would you have to tell me that you're allowed to build in the Shemitah year? There's no prohibition against building. You can build a house, you can build any structure you want. You're just not allowed to farm the land. You're not allowed to do plowing. You're not allowed to do seeding. You're not allowed to do watering. So all of those things are Isser in the Shemitah year, but not building. Building is allowed. So therefore, if it was talking about the wall of a chotzer in the Mishnah, I wouldn't need you to tell me that you're allowed to do that. It would be pshita that you're allowed to do that. There's no issur involved. El olav, must the Mishnah, therefore, automatically must be talking about the wall of a gina. And what's the concern? Afagav de mechsei, even though it looks, kiman de ovid nitiru soliperi, why are you building this wall? Because you want to not let people in to go and take your peros. Now, the peros are hefker in the Shemitah year, but it looks like you're trying to make them not hefker. You're trying to make them protected by putting up the wall. And therefore, you might have thought that it's not allowed at all. So, shema minah, that's why you have to do it with some sort of a shinoi. And this way people will realize that you're not doing it to protect the fruits. You're doing it just that the animals shouldn't come in and eat the fruits, but you're not doing it to make the fruits not hefker. Oh, shema minah, that's a good raya. And therefore, our Mishnah is in support of what Rav Chisda said. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah says, Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir tells us, Roin es ha-negoyim. Now Rashi's not goris the word betchila, so Rashi's goris, Roin es ha-negoyim lo-hokel, that you're allowed to go and look for the first time. Now those that have the gears of betchila mean that the person hasn't yet been declared tamei. What are we talking about? We're talking about a mitzora. A mitzora has certain lesions on his skin that if the Kohen declares them to be a Nega Tzaras, so then all the rules of Tzaras would begin to apply to that person, and he'd have to go through quarantine or isolation period of time. We'll talk about this more in a moment, the difference between Muskar, which would be a quarantine. You're closeted away someplace. You're not allowed to do certain things because We're not sure what your status is. That's like quarantine. You put somebody in quarantine from COVID because you don't know. They were exposed. You don't know, will they or will they not have COVID? So you put them in quarantine so they can't get you sick if they do have COVID. And then you have what's called a metzora mukhlat. Mukhlat would be isolation. People use the terms interchangeable, isolation and quarantine, but they're not. Quarantine is used for, you're not sure, do they or do they not have COVID? You're not sure, do they or do they not have tzaraas, so you put them in quarantine. And then when you declare that they do have tzaraas, then they become a mukhlat, a mitzvah mukhlat. That's when you go into isolation. You are definitely contagious. You can't go and be around other people. So that's the difference between quarantine, which is we're not sure, do you or do you not have it, and mukhlat, you definitely have it. That's called isolation. Okay, so what Meir is telling us is that if a person has some sort of a skin lesion that may or may not be tzaraas, so he says that the Kohen, all the goyim have to be declared by the Kohen. As we'll see in the Gemara, just the fact that the dermatologist or the rabbi says that it's a nega doesn't make it into a nega. Even though it's clear cut and absolute, this is a nega tzaraas, but the Kohen has to declare it a nega tzaraas. So Meir says that the Kohen is allowed to go and look at a lesion that you have, and say, Lahokel, no, this is not tzaraas, because that's a good thing for them to tell you on Chol HaMoed, that will enhance your Simchas Yontif, your Simchas Chol HaMoed, that you don't have this lesion. So therefore, Ramea says, he can look at it, Lahokel. However, Avalo Lahakmir, he can't say, uh-oh, you're in trouble now, buddy, you have tzaraas. That's not allowed. And the Gemara will explain a little bit more when we're talking about. There's three possibilities over here. You're talking about that he has no nega beforehand, and now for the first time they're looking at the nega. The second scenario would be possibly that he had a nega the first time. The Kohen didn't know what it was. He couldn't declare that it was definitely tzaraas. He couldn't declare that it definitely wasn't tzaraas, and they put him in quarantine. They put him in musgar. And that could be done for 1 week, and then you can relook at it a week later and see if posa a nega, if the nega spread, if certain changes came to the nega that would make it tar, or that would make him a vadai nega. After the first week, they could still have another week of quarantine and say, no, we're not sure yet, put him as a musgar again for a second week. And then the other possibility is that it's after the second week, and now the Kohen has to either declare him tar, or he has to say, if it hasn't spread, then he's tar. If it has spread, so then it has certain color changes, certain things happen to it, then he has to declare mukhlat. There's no alternative anymore at this point in time. He either is tame or he's tar. So Rav Meir says, and we'll define this more in the Gemara, initially you can only judge him lahakel, but not lahachmir. But the Chachamim Omrim, no, you're not allowed to even judge him lahakel, because lo lahakel, lo lahachmir. They don't allow, like Rav Meir does, that the Kohen can withhold his decree that it's a nega, and you can wait till after Chol HaMoed, when there won't be a diminution in Simchas Yontif. But the Chachamim hold that once you go and have the Kohen go and see the nega, he doesn't have a choice. He must go and either declare it as a nega or declare it not as a nega. But therefore, there's a possibility that he must declare it as a nega, and that would be bad, and therefore we don't allow it on Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's a little bit complicated. We'll see this more in the Gemara. We'll flesh it out. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa more details than our Mishnah gave us. Rav Meir Omer, the Braisa tells us, Rav Meir says, Rowin es hanegoyim lahokel, on Chol HaMoed, the Kohen can go and take a look at the person's skin and say, you are absolutely tar. This is not a negat saras. That you can do, avol lahachmir, but you can't go and say, this is a negat saras. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, like the Chachamim in our Mishnah, lo lahokel, lo lahachmir. No, Kohen's not allowed to go on Chol HaMoed and look at a nega, because shim ato niskok lo lahokel, niskok lo af lahachmir. Because the Kohen doesn't have a choice. He can't withhold his psak halacha and only give it if it's positive. He has to give his psak halacha whether it's positive or negative, whether he declares him to be free of tzaraas or if he declares him to have tzaraas. And therefore, don't go, because declaring it to be tzaraas could actually be a diminution in his simchas yontif. He's going to be very upset. He's going to be very sad. And therefore, we don't declare these negoyim on Chol HaMoed for the possibility that it could turn out that he'll become sad and then he'll lose his simchas yontif. Now, that's the Braisa, and along comes Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, the great Rebbe, says, Nirin divrei Rav Meir b'muskar, v'divrei Rav Yossi b'mukhlat. He says, each of them has an area where I would paskin like them. I hold, normally, that the din is that Kohen has to go and declare a nega, just like Rav Yossi holds. However, in the case of the Metzora, there was a Metzora Muskar. He's only in, quote, quarantine. He's sealed away, Sagar. He's sealed in terms of we don't know what his psak is, so he has to be in quarantine from other people. So there, I hold actually that Remeir is right, because he can only go lahakel. There's no harm that could come, and therefore I would follow Rav Meir's opinion in regards to the mitzorah that is musgar, but not in the mitzorah that is muchlot. The mitzorah is definitely declared to be a nega, and now the question is, has the nega gone away? And now we can declare him to start the tahara process, the 7-day tahara process. There I would say that that's not a benefit to the person. It could possibly be a negative for the person. We'll see in a moment why it's a negative for the person to be told that he's no longer mitzora and he can start the tahara process. But therefore, since that could be a negative for the person, I hold like Rav Yossi in regards to the mitzora muchlot, the mitzora who's definitely a mitzora. He's in isolation, and now we want to take him out of that isolation and have the 7-day tahara process. Now, why would that be a negative to declare a kohen that he's no longer a mitzora muchlot? I would think that that's a positive thing, and therefore we should allow him to do this, because worst comes to worst, we'll say, no, you stay as a muchlot. Best case scenario, you're no longer a muchlot, you can start the tahara process. So the Gemara is going to tell us momentarily that there are advantages to being a muchlot versus starting the tahara process in terms of, are you allowed to be with your wife? That a mitzora who's muchlot, he's in isolation. He's definitely to be a mitzora, but he's allowed to be with his wife, because these aren't contagious diseases. Despite the fact that everybody translates the mitzora as leprosy, they're not contagious diseases. And therefore, you can have mitzora of a house, you can have mitzora of a garment, so they're not contagious diseases. So there is no harm that's going to come to the wife if you allow the mitzora who's muchlot to be with his wife. However, once you start the tahara process, so then there is a 7-day period of time that you do the tahara process, you're actually also to be with your wife during that period of time. So this person is going to lose the ability to be with his wife during that period of time, and therefore it's not necessarily a positive thing to declare him from going from a mitzora who's muchlot, who's a definitive mitzora, to now starting the tahara process, because he'll lose the ability to be with his wife, and that would cause a lack of simchas yontif. So therefore, Rebbe, who holds like Rav Yossi that you always have to tell your psak, says, if you're talking about a mitzora who's muskar, he's just in quarantine, we don't know definitively, so there's no harm that can come. Worst comes to worst, you just leave him as a muskar, no harm, he's already a muskar. And the best case scenario is you declare that he's not a mitzora, so then there's no tahara process, he just goes scot-free. So that's a positive, so therefore there's no downside to Rav Meir in this situation, therefore he holds like Rav Meir in that situation, and he holds like Rav Yossi in the Mukhlat situation. Now let's understand this. The Gemara will tell us a little bit what I said outside, the Gemara will now say inside. Amar Rava, Rava says, when you're dealing with a person that's bitar, he never ever had a nega, and now he gets a nega and he wants to show it to the Kohen. Hey, what is this skin lesion? So, kuli amo lo plige, lo chosule. Everybody agrees. Even Rav Meir would say, don't show it to the Kohen, because the guy right now is totally tar. He has zero restrictions on himself whatsoever. Muskar has certain restrictions upon himself. The Mukhlot certainly has certain restrictions upon himself. And during the Tahara process, you certainly have restrictions on yourself. So if the person is tar, right now he has zero restrictions on him. So even Rav Meir would say, don't cause this guy problems. If you go look at the Nega and declare him tar, well, he already was tar. So the only thing you can do is say, I don't know, and you make him into a Muskar, or Chas v'Shalom, you can say, no, this is definitely a Nega Tzaras, and you make him into a Mukhla. So therefore, everybody, Rava says, agrees that if the person was previously tar and now he has a new skin lesion, don't see that skin lesion for the first time on Chol HaMoed, because there's no benefit that could possibly come to the person. He's already tar. You can only make it worse. So therefore, don't see it on Chol HaMoed when you can cause a diminution in the Simchas Yontif. Fine. That everybody agrees to. Likewise, everybody agrees, Behez Gerishon, he, before Chol HaMoed, saw a coin. The coin said, I can't tell whether this is a Neged Saras or not. You're definitely not tar, but you're definitely not a mitzora muchla, so I'm putting you into quarantine. You're in the muskar category. You're secluded away. You're sagar. You're behind closed doors. So therefore, you now have the status of being a mitzora muskar. So Behez Gerishon, when you're dealing with looking at him after that first week that he was a musgar, so the kuliyama lo pligi, the chazile, everybody here, even Rav Yossi, would agree that the kohen can come and examine him. Why? Because there's no downside. If the kohen comes and examines him and says, you are tar, so now he goes out and he's holy, he's tar again, and therefore he's going to be very, very happy. He no longer has any of the restrictions of muskar. And worst case scenario, he'll go and declare that I don't know, the nega hasn't spread, but it hasn't gone away, so you're a musgar for another week. No, he was already musgar, so to be musgar for another week, not a big deal. So therefore, everybody would say, even Rav Yossi, that there's no downside to having the kohen come. Because if he declares him tar, he improved the situation. If he says he's still muskar, so then he didn't worsen the situation, so even Rav Yossi would say there's no harm done in doing this. Tosfos asks the obvious question, Diva Maskel Behezgu Rishon, so he says, wait a second. Why aren't we concerned over here? The kasha, second line in the Tosfos Behezker, Duma Poso Hanega. Maybe the nega is spread, and instead of saying the two options, either he'll declare him tar or say he has to be a musgar for another week, why don't we say over here that he'll make him into Tomei Muchlot? He'll turn him into a Vadai Mitzora Muchlot. That's a negative, because now he has much more restrictions upon himself than if he was just a musgar. So this is a negative. How come Rav Yossi says we're not concerned about that? We should be very concerned about that. So Tosus answered, you can see this two lines in the bottom, L'kach nira, the Rabbeinu Yitzchok behezgerishon, hainu tchilas hezgerishon. We're talking here about, it's at the beginning of the first hezger, sheyochol sameach behen, dolo shayach letaro letamo behezgersheni. The din is, that Rav Yossi says, when is the Kohen mechuyev to go and declare that you are definitely tahar, or you're definitely now a tameh? That's only after the second week of Musgar. But if it's talking about the first week, so then even Rav Yossi agrees that the Kohen doesn't have to say it's Vadayanega, you can push it off another week. So therefore, there is no downside, that the two options are that he would make him tahar, and that everybody agrees would be wonderful. And the second option is, even if it's Pasanega, the Kohen doesn't declare it, even according to Rav Yossi. You only have to definitely declare it after the second week of Hezger, then you don't have a choice. But in the first week of Hezger, you have a choice. So therefore, even here, Rav Yossi says, there is no downside, and therefore, let him go and see the Nega after the Husker Rishon, because maybe he'll make him tar, and that's great. And worse comes to worse, even if it's Pasa Nega, he doesn't have to say so. And he can just let him stay in Hezger for another week. And therefore, the Kuliyamalo Pligi, the Chosilei, everybody, even Rav Yossi, would say he can see that. So where's the Machlokas in Rav Yossi? It's not in the case of a tar. Everybody, even Rav Meir, says, don't go see it. And it's not in the case of Hezger Rishon, because everybody, even Rav Yossi, says, you are allowed to go and see it because there's no downside. So, ki pligei, where do Rav Meir and Yossi argue? We'll return to Zayin on the base. Ki pligei, behezger sheni. This is after the second week. Now, Rav Yossi holds that you must give a psak halacha. You can't push it off. There's no hezger shlishi. So, you're either going to have to declare him lo posa nega. It hasn't changed in any way. And therefore, he's now tohar. But if it has changed, if it's posa, it's spread further, he's going to have to declare him tame. So, according to Rav Yossi, there is no choice now. He's going to have to declare it one way or the other. Now, making him into a Metzora who's a definite Muchlot is worse than being a Metzora who is a Musker. So therefore, there is a downside over here. So Rav Yossi says, don't do it. So, Mar Savar, B'Kohen Talia Milsa, since Rav Meir says it's totally up to the Kohen, and the Kohen has the right, in this situation, not to Paskin. He can only Paskin Lekula if he wants to. So therefore, Itar, if the Nega has actually diminished, or it's changed in a way that makes it Tar, so the guy's going to be thrilled. He's going out of Hezger on Cholamite. And the Kohen can say, I'm like Tar. And therefore, Rav Meir says that's a good outcome. We definitely want him to do that. V'Tameh, but let's say the Nega has in fact spread, and he normally, if it was a regular weekday, Nacholamite, he would declare him to be a Metzora. So here, Vitami Shosik, he doesn't have to declare Macholamite. You can wait till after Cholamite. As we'll see, the Kohen has the right, we'll bring Psukim to show and support this, the Kohen has the right, according to Rav Meir, not to go and give his Psak Halacha. But Rav Yossi, Umar Savar, no, the Kohen doesn't have a choice. He must give his Psak, whether it's the Kula or the Chumra. And therefore, the Pasuk says, Letaro o Letamo, that the Kohen comes along and declares, you are either a tar, you're no longer a muskar, or you're tame, you're now a mukhla. That's what the Torah says, lataro latamo ksiv, and therefore you don't have a choice. So here's where we have the machlokas after the hezger sheni. Rav Meir says, you have a choice, you can only say for good, but you're not mechuyev to say for bad, and therefore do it, because it can only help the guy. If it's good, you've helped him. If it's bad, don't say anything. And Rav Yossi says, you don't have a choice, you have to say something, so therefore it could be good, it could be bad, therefore don't do it. Now, the brisa that we just said, we're going to go back and dissect. Omar Mar, we said, Rebbe held. At the end of that brisa, we said, Omar Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi said, Nirin Divrei Rebbe Yossi, B'Mukhla. It seems to me that Rebbe Yossi is correct when you're dealing with the Mukhla, the person who has already been declared to be a Vadai Nazir, he's Mukhlot, he's definitive, he's in isolation, so that seems to be right, because, as we pointed out, it would be a detriment to him to say you're no longer a Metzora, because now you have to start the Zayin days of the Tahara process, and during these 7 days, you're also to be with your wife. So that's a negative. Granted, it's great to be out of being a mukhlat, but that comes at the expense of not being able to be with your wife. You don't want to do that. Don't call a money to the guy. So that's what Rebbe said. And I agree with the words of the Divrei Rebbe and Ben Muskra, because as we said, there's no downside. If even Rav Yossi says that you're not mechuyev after the Hezger Rishon to go and pronounce the din, you can push it off. So then, Mimanashach, if it's Tahora, Itar, Amalei Tar, Vitami Shasik, and if it's not Tar, so then be silent. So therefore, he agreed with the opinion of Rav Meir in regards to the Muskra. Now, that's the Brisa that we had. But elsewhere we learned, Votanya, another Brisa said, Ifchor, the exact opposite, that Rebbe said that I hold like Rav Meir in regards to the Mukhlat, not the Muskar. And I hold a Rav Yossi in regards to the Muskar, not the Mukhla. So the two Brises seem to be at odds with each other. We have Rebbe saying in one place he holds like Rav Meir for this and Rav Yossi for that, and the other place he holds like Rav Yossi for that and Rav Meir for this. So they're the exact opposite steerer between the two Brises. So Moshe says, Yitake, right. Tanoihi, this is a machlokas time as to what Rebbe's opinion was. Aliba de Rebbe. Because Mar Savar, the second brisa that we just brought down, that said that Rebbe would hold like Rav Meir in regards to the Mukhlat, because he says that's a positive outcome. The person now is no longer in isolation. He can come out of isolation. Okay, no, he won't be with his wife, but it's only 1 week. But he gets to go and be back and go into shul, go to minyanim, and be around people. So he's very happy about that. So this Tana says that that's a win-win situation. If he declares that, no, you're still a Mitzorah, so you're a Mitzorah Mukhlat, nothing has changed. And if you declare that, no, you're no longer a Mitzorah, you can start the 7-day Tahara process, he's thrilled. Marsovar, Tzafsa, the Alm, Odifle, he would rather be with other people, and okay, he won't be with his wife for that week. So that's a positive benefit to him. But the first Brisa, Marsovar, no, Tzafto, the Ishto, Adifle, the person would say, listen, I could be with all the other people, I'd be with my wife, I'd rather be with my wife. And therefore, if you're going to declare me to be a no longer a Mitzorah Mukhlat, so then I'm losing out being with my wife. Even though I could be with other people, I'd rather be with my wife. That's more important to me. So that's the two different opinions and the two brises as to what Rebbe said. One holds that Rebbe held that the company of the Tzibor is more important than being alone with his wife. And the other one said, no, being alone with his wife, having the ability to have relations with the wife, is more important than having now the company of the Tzibor. And that's the crux of the machlokas between the two brises. Tanoihi Aliba the Rebbe. Each one held a different opinion as to what Rebbe Shita was. Now the Gemara says this is all based upon the fact, Lameimra, you can see from here, the Mukhlot Mutter B'tash Mishamita. That seems to imply that a Mitzorah, who is a definitive Mitzorah, he's Mukhlot, he's in real isolation, he's a Mitzorah, nevertheless he's still allowed to have relations with his wife. Otherwise it doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says, yeah, in. That's 100% correct. And this Vatanya, I'll show you, is Benichusa. Normally Rashi says it's Benichusa, but here it doesn't say over here anything, but this is a Raya over here to what we said, as opposed to Vatanya goes against it. Most of the time, Vatanya is a proof against it. Here it's Benichusa, it's going to prove what we just said. Yes, that Mitzorah, who's Mukhlat, is allowed to have relations with his wife. Where do we see this from? Because it says, V'yoshav michutz la'olo shivas yomim. During the Tahara process, after the Kohen declares him that he's no longer Mitzorah, then he has to go chutz me'ohalo. And that means, she'osu v'tash v'shamita. Because v'ein olo elo ishto. It says you have to go away from your house for 7 days. And your house is your wife. And therefore it means during the 7-day Tahara process, it's also to have relations with your wife. And this is based upon the Pasuk, Shenemar, Lechem Orlem, Shuvu Lechem, Lioho Lechem, after Matan Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Shloshes Me'agbalo, you have to separate from your wives. But now, after Matan Torah, go back to Ohol Lechem, go back to your tents. Now, Ohol Lechem means your wife. And therefore, that's how we learn now that when it says you go back to your house, it means you're allowed to go back to having relations with your wife. And when it says, Yeitze Yoshav Michutz Liohalo, you have to sit outside Ohalo, it means you can't be with your wife. So therefore, a Mitzorah Mukhlat is allowed to have relations with his wife, and only during the Tahara process, the 7 day of the Tahara process, he's not allowed to have relations with his wife. That is the Tanakama's drasha in this brisa. Yehuda Omer Shivas Yomim Yisbrulo. He has to count 7 days. And that means Yimei Sefiro V'lo Yimei Chaluto. It's talking about only during these 7 days that he has to count the Tahara process, but that's only during these 7 days that he has to be away from his wife, Yimei Sefiro V'lo Yimei Chiluto, but not during the time that he's a Mitzorah Mukhla. So therefore, this pasuk from Yecheskel goes and proves the same point. So Rabbi Yehuda has just a different drasha than the Tanakama to say that during the mukhlat period of time, he's allowed to be with his wife, but only during the 7 days of tahara process, he's not allowed to be with his wife. That's the girsa that we have. Tosos and Dibra Masnu Hogi Garsinun, as well as the Rashi and the Ksiviyat, they have a different pasuk over here. We'll just leave it with the girsa that we had. Okay, these are the two rayas for the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda that the Mitzora Mukhlad is allowed to have relations with his wife, and only during the 7 days of the Tahara process is he not allowed to. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda's son, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees with his father. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, no, Shivas Yomim Yimei Sefiro, he's not allowed to be with his wife during the 7 days of the Tahara process, and that's a Kabbal Homer. If he's not allowed to be with his wife then, when he's on his way to becoming Tar, Allah has come of a Kabbal Homer, that when he's a Mitzora Mukhlot, Yimei Chiluto, he certainly can't have relations with his wife. It's a Kabbal Homer. If even during the Tahara process he can't have relations with his wife, certainly during the Tumah days, when he's a Mukhlot, he can't have relations with his wife. That's the opinion of Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Chia says, Danti Lifnei Rabbi, that I once had this Shaila come up, and I discussed it with Rabbi. Rabbi Chia was a star pupil of Yehuda Nasi with Rabbi. And he said, Lima de Tarnu, Rabbeinu, didn't the Rabbi teach us, Yosam lo hayolo luzio elo bimei chiluto? Now, what's going on over here? The Melech Uzio was the king for a very long period of time. He was the second longest reigning king. Menashe was the longest reigning king of Malchus Yehuda. He reigned for 55 years. And Uzio was the king of Malchus Yehuda for 52 years. Now, he had a son, Yosam. Now, Yosam took over upon the death of Uzio. And it says that he was 25 years old when Yosam became the king. So that means that his father, who reigned 52 years, so in the 27th year of Uzio's reign, that's when the son, Yosam, was born, who would eventually become the king. So therefore, you taught us, Yosam, lo ha'yelo l'Uzio, ele b'michiluto. We know that Uzio got Saras, and he died with Saras. Now, he had Saras for a very long period of time. It says that he became a Metzora in the 27th year of his reign. Now, that's the same time that Uzio had Yosam as the child. So therefore, it must be that he was a Mukhlat during that period of time. So that's what Rav Chiya said to Rebbe. Rebbe, didn't you teach us that you were the one that held that he had relations with him while he was a Metzora Mukhlat? He had relations with his wife while he was a Metzora Mukhlat, and she gave birth to Yosam while he was a Metzora Mukhlat. Didn't you tell us that, Rebbe? And Rebbe says, oh, hello, yeah, afani kachamart. Yes, I in fact did say that. So we see over here that Rebbe held halacha lemaisa, like the first two opinions, like Rebbe Yehuda, and like the Tanakhama, that a Metzora Mukhlat is allowed to have relations, whereas Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda says, no, the calculation that you did is wrong. I hold that he wasn't a Metzora Mukhlat when he had relations with his wife, and they gave birth to Yosam, and therefore, that doesn't bother me, that's not a problem, because I hold he wasn't a Metzora Mukhlat yet. And therefore, Rav Yosef Yehuda says that a Metzora Mukhlat is not allowed to have relations with his wife. It's a Kabbal Chomer. If you're not allowed to have relations during the Nikiyim, the 7 days that you're going through the Tahara process, you certainly can't go and have relations with your wife when you're a Mukhlat. So this is the fundamental difference between Rav Yosef Yehuda and his father, Rav Yehuda, and the Tanakhama. Now, what are they arguing about? B'maika Miflugi. So Rav Yosef Yehuda Savar, Galei Rachmona b'mei Sefiro, v'koshekei b'mei Chiluto. He says the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to have relations during the days. Shivas Yimei Sefiro, you're not allowed to have relations then, and it's a Kabbal Chomer. If the Torah says you can't have relations then, the Torah doesn't mention anything about a Metzora Mukhlat, so it makes sense, it's a Kabbal Chomer. If you're not allowed to have relations when you go through the Tahara process, you certainly can't have relations when you're a Mukhlat, when you're definitively Tomei. That's Rav Yosef Yehuda. As opposed to his father, Mar Savar, Rav Yehuda, as well as the Tanakhama, they hold, my de gali gali, or my de lo gali lo gali. Yeah, the Torah said over here that during these 7 days, you have to separate from your wife. Okay, only during these 7 days. Yosha michutz lo shivas yamin. But only those 7 days. What the Torah reveals to us, that's where it applies. But if the Torah didn't reveal it to us during the Metzora Mukhlat, then we don't make a Kal v'chomer here and say it automatically applies. No, in that situation, my de lo gali, if the Torah didn't tell us anything, lo gali. We don't have to make any Kal v'chomers, and it's perfectly permissible. Now the Gemara says, based upon everything that we spoke about, all the Shita says that it's up to the Kohen to declare a person a Metzora. Even though the dermatologist declared a Metzora, the Rav of the town declared a Metzora, pictures are posted on the internet, this is the example of a Neged Saras, look at this guy, but that isn't the way you declare the Metzorah. Lamemra, everything that we learned until now teaches us the Kohen Talia Milsa. The Kohen is the one who declares somebody to be a Metzorah or not. Where it says again, in, yes, Tanya, and again, we have Benichus over here. We're going to bring a Raya to this idea that the Kohen has to declare somebody to be a Nega. It's not a Nega objectively. It's only a Nega once the Kohen declares it. Because the Pasuk tells us, Uve Yom He Ra'os Bo, on the day that the Kohen goes and looks at it, he declares him to be Tomei. The full Pasuk is, Uve Yom He Ra'os Bo, Basar Chai Yitma. So he declares him to be a Nega that is a Muchlat Metzorah. So he has to declare it. Yo, yesh yom, there are days, sha'atarobo, yesh yom, sha'atarobo. There are times, therefore, that the Kohen does declare it. It says, biyom herosbo. On that day, sometimes he declares it, but on that day, sometimes he doesn't have to declare it. It's totally up to the Kohen. Where's the example where he doesn't declare it? Mikan amru, chosin shenola bo nega, nosin lo shivis yimeha mishta, lo ulebeso luchsuso. L'chein berego. That we don't want to declare chosin to be a Metzorah, or anybody in his wedding party to be a Metzorah, because that's going to shter the simcha of the wedding during the 7 days of Sheva Brachos. He's going to be in isolation. It's not going to be a good thing. So he warned him and the kala and the entire wedding party not to have a status of being a Metzorah Mochla. So therefore, the Kohen sees these lesions, but he doesn't have to go and declare them. And therefore, they can enjoy the Sheva Brachos. They can enjoy the week. And likewise, on the Cholamoid, on the Regel, we don't declare it because we want you to enjoy the yontif. So therefore, no solo shiva simi haregel. The Rehuda says lishitaso that the Kohen can go and not declare it if he wishes to. He's not mechuyev to go and declare the nega. It's his choice. The Torah gives us that he has the right on certain days to declare it, but on other days he doesn't have to declare it. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi disagrees with Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, Eino Tzorech, I don't need your drasha. Why? Hari you Omer, Betziva Kohen, Ufinu Es Habayis. I'll bring you a better raya. It says that when there's a nega on a house, so the Kohen has to go and declare it to be a nega. So the Kohen comes and he says, take everything out of the house. Meaning, I'm about to go and pronounce that this house has a nega saras on it. So better take out all the things that won't be able to become tar. Take out your earthenware vessels that have no tahara process and bring them outside the house, because the house is going to be declared a nega of tzaras, and then anything inside the house will become tummy. So take out the things that are going to be irreversibly tummy, because you can't, there's no tahara process, take them out. Now obviously you see that the Kohen knows it's a nega tzaras, but he just hasn't declared it yet. So this is where Rebbe says we see the source that the Kohen can go and delay. Not from the resource of Rebbe Yehuda, from the Sheva Brachos, or from Chol HaMoed. So, therefore, in Mamtini Lola Dvar Rishus, the Gemara concludes Rebbe's proof. If we allow this for Dvar Rishus, the earthenware utensils, there's no mitzvah involved in that. So the earthenware utensils, you're allowed to nevertheless not declare the house to be have the negat saras until you take them out. So Ledvar Rishus, you're allowed to do this. So Kol Shekein Ledvar Mitzvah, certainly for Chol HaMoed or for the wedding party, for the Shivas Yemei HaMishta, for the 7 days of Sheva Brachos, you're allowed to certainly go and do it. If you do it for Ledvar Rishus, you can certainly do it for Ledvar Mitzvah. So each of them agrees with the same result, and it's up to the Kohen, and the Kohen can declare it, sometimes not. But Rav Yehuda has his sukkim. It says, Uviyom HaRosbo, and Rebbe has his pasuk, Mitzivah Kohen Ufinu Esabayis. No. They both hold the same thing. Might be nayu. What's the nafkamina between these two shittos? So the first answer is there is no nafkamina. It's just the way they darshan the psukim. Amar Rabbi, mashmos darshan ikah benayu. It's just how you get to the answer. But you're right. The bottom line, the halacha lemaisa, there's no difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda. Just how they got there, slight difference. Rava disagrees. Rava mar devar harishus ikah benayu. No, the whole machlokas is if something is a rishus. According to Rebbe, Rebbe said no. If you can do it for a Dvar Rishus, you can certainly do it for a Dvar Mitzvah. But that implies that you can do it for a Dvar Rishus, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, mehasam lo gamrin, and you can't learn out from the house the negat saras, because that's the chiddushu. That's a unique situation. So the Torah tells us, but that's only for a neg on a bias, which is a very unusual thing. But a neg on a person who says, for a Dvar Rishus, the Kohen has the right not to go and declare it. Maybe there, the Kohen has to go and declare it. He doesn't have a choice. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rebbe argue about a Dvar HaRishus, other than for a nega tzaras that's on a house. So therefore, on the house, everybody has the pasuk, Mitzivah Kohen Pinus Habayis. No argument. Everybody agrees that that's a Dvar Rishus. But whether you automatically say that that would apply to other types of negoyim on a person, so Rebbe says yes, and Rebbe Yehuda says no. Rehuda mehosam lo gamrinu mechidishu, because it's a chidish. We turn to Chesam Aleph, And why is it a chiddush? Because the eitz of havanim v'amu lo mitamu v'hocham mitamu. Because normally we don't find tum and tara in things other than a human being. So therefore, here's an unusual situation that we have a neg on a house. So therefore, that is a chiddush, and you can't generalize this to a neg on a person. No, what does Rebbe say to that? That sounds like it's pretty good. Rebbe, what does Rebbe say? Rebbe Amar Itzrich. No, you need both psukim over here to teach me my din, that even for Dvar HaRishus, you can say this. Why is that? Itzrich. The Ikas HaRachmona V'yom HaRozbo, if you only had the one pasuk that Rebbe Yehuda had brought, you know what I would have said? Havamino, Dvar Mitzvah, and Dvar HaRishus Lo. Exactly like Rebbe Yehuda's Darshting, I would have said that. Therefore, Kas HaRachmona V'tziv HaKohen, Ufino HaSabayis. That's why you need the second pasuk. No, and if you only had the second pasuk, because of Rachmona v'tziva kohen. If you only had that pasuk, you know I would have said havamina hani in. I would have said only in regards to an egg on a house. The lav tum of the gufe. It's an unusual thing. It's not tum of a guf, and therefore only here it would be allowed. Aval tum of the gufe, the tumah that comes on a person, ema merzi chazulei. Maybe the kohen has to go and declare it. He doesn't have a choice. Oh, that's why I need the other pasuk over yom herosbo. Therefore, you need both psukim according to Rebbe, and that's why Rebbe says it works even for Dvar Rishus. But Rebbe Yehuda, according to this understanding, would not allow for Dvar Rishus except for a house, but wouldn't allow for Dvar Rishus for a tumah of nega tzaras on a person's body. With this, we conclude today's shiur.